We'll have a bathroom break halfway through. If you would, turn to John 13. Thank you, everyone, for coming out. Do appreciate you sitting here and listening. Try to stay awake if you can. Today we're going to talk about communication, something I struggle with. Not necessarily talking, but communication. I talk a lot, but so we'll start in John 13, verse 12. We'll just read a few. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do, just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know who I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me, the one who sent me." So let's just open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are in this time. Please help that you would just speak through me, and may your words be spoken and brought to the people. And we thank you for the study time and the stuff that you have taught me through this. And but please let us all be able to understand what you are bringing to us today. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. So, communication. There's several different kinds of communication. You guys all know this. You all do it every day. There's nonverbal, there's verbal, there's written, in facial expressions, body language, all different things to do. And part of it is listening with communication. So not only are you projecting, but part of communication is receiving. A definition of communication, it's the exchange of information and intention and emotion. It involves clearly transmitting a message and receiving acknowledgement that the message has been received and understood by your attended audience. So, you know, we can talk to each other. That's the easy thing, right? Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not. But we could all communicate with each other. How do we communicate with God? How is it that we get a message from God or get a message to God? Don't jump ahead. So, by praying. That is the correct answer. There's also, how else can we do it? Who do you typically communicate with, like on a daily basis? There's certain people you will always communicate with, right? It's the ones you have to deal with on a daily basis. If you're working, like you have your coworkers, some that you like, some that you maybe don't like, but you have to communicate. Basically, in every situation, even if you go to the grocery store and you're going to buy something, you're going to communicate. Even with the people walking in the aisles, if you're walking down the right side and they're standing on the left, it's a lot of, you know, excuse me. There's always something. Can you have a conversation with God? Is that a possibility? In the Bible, Enoch, he walked with God. And I bet they had probably normal conversations as they walked together. Is that something that we can do nowadays? 1 Thessalonians 2:4, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please men, but to please God who tests our hearts. When we're communicating, are we communicating godly things? And now, when we're talking about the communication, it's all those types of communication, not just speaking. The verbal, the nonverbal, the body language. So, we're just going to go through some of them and do some nowadays examples. Numbers 11, if you want to turn there. Numbers 11. And we'll go to verse 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, gather for me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them to the tent of meeting, and let them take their stand there with you. And I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them, and they shall bear the burden of people with you, so that you may not bear it yourself alone. So this verse is bringing people together, as was just announced, not this Wednesday, the following Wednesday, we want a chapel get together to know where we're going. Meeting in person, sometimes with our busy schedule, that's can be tough to do. But a face-to-face conversation is a lot different than a phone conversation. It's a lot different than a text message or an email. Face-to-face, it's more personal. And, what is something that when you're face-to-face with somebody, what's something that you see? What's something you see when you're face-to-face talking to somebody? You see the other person, right? You can see their body language when you say something. Like, man, your shirt is really ugly. And you could see the expression, right? Now, in this particular thing, he's bringing a group of people together. So, in a group of people, it's a lot different than one-on-one, right? So when you're one-on-one, people, it's really easy to talk back and forth normally, one-on-one. But as the group gets bigger, less people would want to speak up. So, like, standing in front of a group, sometimes it's tough for some people. And it's hard to say really what's on your mind. So, God gives, throughout the whole Bible, there's all different sorts of communication that he's bringing us. 3 John 1:14, I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Paul went through his journeys, and he was constantly going to them, and he would also write to them. So he did both. Do you think those churches liked it when he showed up? We're like, Paul's here, better straighten up. It's like, when the boss is like, the boss is coming, everyone straighten up and act like you're doing something. Do you think it was like that? Or, we can't wait to have Paul get here and start fixing us so we could go back to, serving better. And how do you think they took that? But Paul knows the importance of the face-to-face, and that's why he went through so much travel. He brought people with him. But get together, communicate person to person so that you can see the other person's expressions. You can see where if you're on the phone, you can't necessarily, you don't know, but like someone's facial expressions when you say something, you could see it. And, well, is there something really wrong? What is it? Nonverbal. All right. So where we started, John 13. And then verse 12. Jesus here does an example. Believe it or not, there's people watching you and that you probably don't know. Now, I'm not talking about somebody, you know, peeking in your windows and things like that, but people, if you say that you're a Christian, people are watching you. Sadly, there is, I've been coaching a 15U Plainville team, right? It's a public thing. We played a Christian school team. They announced that they were Christians. They came out and they had the worst sportsmanship we have ever played against. And I had to go to the coach after and I said, please do not tell people you guys are Christians. Because people are watching. That you guys were a terrible example of sportsmanship. So if you announce that you're a Christian, you know, someone's watching you, not just God, and you got to be that example. That being said, when all the people are like watching you and stuff like that, can they see God in you? Like, how can someone see God in you without even saying anything? You know, they will know that we are Christians by our love. Are we loving one another? Are we repaying evil with evil? If that guy cuts you off in traffic, are you quick to get in front of him and slow down? I know that's, I was really good at that. And the Lord has taught me some lessons, but, you know, if you're still mad about the guy cutting you off in the evening and he cuts you off in the morning, you really need to look at God a little more. But lead by example. Jesus here, verse 12, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? One thing when I was started this whole communication thing, and like as far as me saying I was bad at communication, I'm not very good at it with like work, getting back to people sometimes. I just struggle with it. I get busy and I'm just like, oh, I'll call them later and then I'll forget or whatever. I know in my business world, if I call back the same day that they call me for a job, typically I have the job. It's a phone call. It's a text message. Even if I tell them, I can't talk to them. For whatever reason, that's all they needed to hear is that they reached out, and is all I have to do is just make contact back and say, I got your message, I'll call you tomorrow, and then I have to follow through. I'll call you tomorrow at 1. If I don't call them back tomorrow at 1, I drop the communication. But a lot of times that's all it takes, just a little getting back to them. So here, Jesus is leading by example. Do we lead by example in our communication? You know, are we yelling at someone, stop yelling! You're not supposed to yell! You know, that's not a good way to do it, right? What is it? A soft answer turns away wrath, right? So how are we as an example? Our non-verbals. You know, the lot into sports, there was a kid, he was with a quarterback coach, and the kid's throwing the ball, and he was trying out for the team. He didn't have the spot yet, and the kid throws the ball, and he overthrew it, and he went, put his head down. Coach came right over, and he lifted his head up, and he said, you're the quarterback of the team. If your body language shows that, like, you're upset and things are going wrong, the rest of the team's going to start doing that. They're going to fall apart. He's like, you're the leader out there. You got to keep your head up. Something goes wrong, you move on to the next thing. You know, with life, it seems like when something goes wrong, something else goes wrong, and then something else goes wrong. And then you're just like, oh, I'm having one of those days. And how do you stop that snowball effect going down the hill of just bad thing and bad thing? And then you're probably, if you're starting to get upset and you're starting to really look at yourself and be, oh, this is going wrong for me. And it's the constant thinking of me all of a sudden. What's your focus on? Are you trying to be that example? Are you understanding that God has put these things there in your way for a reason? You know, we'll go to writing now. 2 Corinthians 13:10. We could turn there, you don't have to, but 2 Corinthians 13:10. For this reason I write these things while I am away from you, that when I come I may not have to be severe in my use of the authority that the Lord has given me for building up and not for tearing down. So, or you know, I'm going to read. I'm going to read a little more for that one. I'm going to start at verse 5. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test. I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test, but we pray to God that you may not do wrong. Not that we may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. Your restoration is what we pray for. For this reason I write these things while I am away from you, that when I come, I may not have to be severe in my use of authority that the Lord has given me for building up and not for tearing down. So, Paul wrote a lot of things, and he has all these letters. What would be important writing things down? You know, one of them is gonna last a lot longer. If you write something down, especially if it's an email, once you send it on the internet, it's there forever, right? So, you know, you could talk to somebody verbally, you could do it non-verbally, and now you're writing. You could write to somebody little notes. You could write to somebody something that they need to hear over and over. A lot of, like, we have on the wall over there, the fruit of the Spirit. It's something that's important, so we wrote it down, and it's on the wall, right? So we write it down. We got pictures with, you know, all over the church of little verses and things like that. And it's important to have it written down so that we could see it, and it's there a lot longer. And it will stay in our memory a lot easier. Matthew 14. We'll go to Matthew 14. Verse 22. So this story, I know you've heard, but we're going to talk about it anyway. This is about Jesus walking on water. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. That's an important thing too. He took his time after something went on to just have time with God, to just take his relationship with God into a quiet place. So he had a big group of people. He had that communication. Now he's just him and God. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was gone away from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Now, I'm going to read on, but in this little section, when they see Jesus walking on the water, can you, like, picture their face? They're just, what is going on? And they're terrified. So, I don't know if you've ever been in a group with guys, but if a guy gets scared, typically somebody gets picked on. It's just how it is. And imagine being in that boat and just seeing somebody walking up, and you're just like, oh, come on. Come on, that's not a ghost. It's something else. Then, you know, one of the guys, like, chuckling, but he's scared. The other guy turns pale as a ghost. So here they are in the boat, afraid. And Peter answered, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out onto the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. When Peter jumped on that water and started walking, I don't know. I would be smiling. I'd be like, this is cool. And then you got the waves going, and you're just standing on the water, kind of like going up and down with the waves. Like, one of my favorite things to do is to body surf, but I can't stand on the water. Can you imagine, like, Peter's facial expression when this happens? And then, so Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water to Jesus, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. His smile went from, like, his smile went upside down real quick. Because then he got scared. He took his eye off of Jesus. He started thinking of Peter. And then all of a sudden, things started going wrong. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sing, cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand, took a hold of him, saying to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat all worshiped, saying, truly you are the Son of God. How many times do we just turn away and just we start to sink in the water? And then that snowball, we sink deeper and deeper. And then when we do cry out, are we like truly crying out? Or are we talking to God only when we're in that trouble? Is God a vending machine where we just call him when we want something? Or we'll definitely call him when we need it. Even when we want something, sometimes we'll skip by. But if we need him, the plane's going down. Even an atheist is probably going to pray. You know, how long do we wait before we cry out to God? Do we keep your eye on Jesus? Or do you just look at yourself? So, with facial expressions, a lot of times the body goes with it. We'll turn to John 11. We'll start in verse 32. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her were her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and was greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? This is when Lazarus had passed away for a couple days. You know, Mary fell on the ground, like her body language, and then Jesus wept, you know. There's the shortest verse in the Bible, but it shows that, you know, Jesus was a real man. He had feelings, and he cried. You know, typically when someone's weeping, it's with their entire body. It's not just like, you know, a tear coming down. They're crying. The whole body is involved. After you're done crying, typically you get tired. I don't know if that's anybody else, but if I ever cried or whatever, I'm pretty tired after. It's because it takes your whole body, and it consumes your entire self. And I don't think Jesus wept because Lazarus died, because he knew he was about to raise him. I think he was more upset that the people thought that Lazarus was going to be gone and that he didn't have the power to bring him back. That's just my opinion, but he was upset that his friend was gone, that people didn't believe, and then in the next couple of verses, he brings him back. He says, "Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and the stone lay against it. Jesus said, 'Take away the stone.' Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, 'Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days.' Jesus said to her, 'Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?' So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me.' When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, 'Unbind him and let him go.'" So there Jesus is another example of communication and just showing how powerful God is. Now, the listening and understanding part of communication, I never really thought that was a big part of communication. I always thought communication was just sending it out. Never really took it as receiving. I don't know if anyone else feels that way, but like when I think about communication, it's just how it's presented. But in the definition, it says the exchange of information, the intention, and emotion. So not only like are you trying to like tell someone, you're trying to make them feel what you feel, to like 100% understand what you have in your brain, and you want them to fully understand that. And so transmitting a message, receiving acknowledgement that the message has been received and understood by your intended audience. So, you know, something with these cards that we're doing, it's for the speaker to see if you guys understand what the speaker's talking about. You know, that's part of communication. When you're on a team, there's constant communication. When we obviously our body is this one big piece, right? And then our brains communicate to every part of our body what to do. We are considered a family. We are considered a body of Christ, right? We don't always go in the same direction as a group. We, like, you know, I have a job working over there. He's got a job working over there. He's, you know, got a black belt. I'm only at the brown belt. But we all go in different directions. And how is it that we can come together unified to all go in the same direction? And what direction is it that we would go in? You know, a couple Wednesdays, we're going to talk about the future of Bristol Bible Chapel and what we're going to do. Are we going to have, you know, more outreach things? Are we going to have, what's VBS going to be like this year? All these different things, you know, that's it. That's probably what we're going to look at in our future. And then can we come together as a group? How are we going to communicate what's going on with VBS? And are we going to, like, listen and things like that? I know VBS in the past, we used to have a bunch of kids, and it was really big, right? And the last few years, it's been small. And some people can think that the huge number of kids was better. That was, it was so great. There was all these things. But sometimes small is good. God has for us right now the smaller group. There's a reason he is having us with a smaller group. Is it so that we just keep pushing through and do it? What is the reason? And I don't know. I don't know what it is. But it could be the fact that, you know, this little group of people can take care of 40 kids with no problem. We did it last year. It was really no sweat at all. It seemed to go pretty smooth. And I know the kids enjoyed it. And it's us as the older people were an example for the kids. And maybe one of the kids is going to run a camp someday and he's going to base it off what we did at VBS. We don't know what God has planned. But if God puts us in, you know, in front of something and there's a service and we're called to that, you know, what do we do with that? But listening, we'll go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, verse 14. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say unto you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. So if you're called to something and you express it, and then somebody doesn't agree with you, it's okay. God has a plan. It doesn't mean it was right for them, what's right for you. That was one thing. Acts 26, verse 3. You don't have to turn. But Acts 26, verse 3 says, especially because you are familiar with all the customs, controversies of the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. You know, sometimes it's hard to listen and just be there. Sometimes you want to jump in, and if you have like the slow talker sometimes, and you want to just jump in. But listen patiently. Communication takes a lot of time and energy. You need the time because you need to sit there and listen. You need the energy because you need to understand what's trying to be communicated or what you are trying to communicate. You have to put in time to make sure that you're communicating it correctly. So I just want you to think on a daily basis, how do you communicate to the people around you? Are you showing them love? Is 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, is that like the first thing you're thinking about when you're dealing with people? Is your nonverbals when you show up to work, what are they? Are they, oh, I hate work, I don't want to be here, I just don't like being here? Or are you showing up and God is good? He woke me up another day, gave me the ability to go to work so I can pay what I got to pay for. You know, how is your body language on an everyday basis when you're dealing with people? Do you ever write anything down? You know, so one thing, when we were kids, we would write down prayer requests and we would see which ones got answered. Sometimes it wasn't always the answer we wanted, but typically every prayer request that we would write down when we were kids, there was some type of answer. Do we write anything down so that we can go back and look at it? You know, when someone's speaking to us, if we see someone coming up to us and they're, oh, I don't want to talk to them, and then they're like, hey, how you doing? Hey, and then your facial expressions about it, you want to get out of there. what is it like on an everyday basis? Can someone that is that we're just walking by or passing by, will they know that we are Christians? Is there something different about us and how we carry ourselves because we have the Lord in us? The when I worked at UPS, there was needless to say, when you're in like a factory and a building and things like that, there's a lot of swearing going on. So just a simple not swearing makes you stand out like a sore thumb. And, you know, little things like that. Do you stand out? Are you a light in this world? But just a challenge now to communicate correctly, especially to the people in this room, to communicate the things that you like or want to serve in. If there's a problem with somebody in this room, are you able, do you have a relationship good enough to go to them and talk to them about it? What is your communication like on a daily basis, especially with your immediate family? But just the challenge, communicate what God wants you to communicate, and to show everyone by your love, by the nonverbals, the verbals, written, your body language, your facial expressions, but try to communicate and communicate correctly. But let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and what you've done, and we thank you for this time, and we please help that we were able to learn something. It's probably a lot of review for most people, but please help us communicate your love in a dark world, and that we just may be a light in this world, that we may be able to communicate in every which way the love of Christ, the love that of Jesus, that you sent his son to die for us so that we may live eternally with you. And we just thank you for that, and we just thank you for the ability to be able to communicate to one another, and that we all may unify and go in the direction you would have us go. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.